We come to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And really, every Sunday is Easter Sunday, isn't it, church? That's why the New Testament church began to meet on the first day of the week. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew people met on Saturday, the Sabbath day, to commemorate, if you will, creation and to remember that God's our provider. How many of you know today God's a good provider? Come on, church. And but then when Jesus came, he came not to abolish the law, but to interpret it rightly for us, to fulfill it. And that's what the resurrection and the gospel is all about. He came to show us that there is life in him, and the law points us to him. And so after Jesus rose from the dead, the New Testament church began to meet on the first day of the week, on Sunday, to commemorate, if you will, the resurrection and the life of Jesus every single week. And so Easter, it is our point of celebration, isn't it? It's what gives us hope in this life. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. Aren't you glad today that the grave is not all there is? That's not the end. And Satan has been defeated. Death and hell has been defeated forever. Easter, how many Easter candy fans have I got in the house? How many folks like Easter candy? Yeah, Easter candy is a huge hit in our country. Spending on Easter candy this year was projected to reach over $3 billion. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? $3 billion. If you go to the store, though, there's so many options. You're kind of in a quandary as to what to buy, right? Because there's so many different Easter candy options. Well, CandyStore.com did a little survey of 9,000 people, surveyed 9,000 different people, and they came up with what they call the worst, top 10 worst candies. So here's the candies not to buy, right? If you are still looking to buy Easter candy, come on now. Let's see if I've got any fans on this. Where's my jelly bean fans at? Number 10. Oh, jelly beans are horrible. Listen, repent of that today in Jesus' name, right? Jelly beans. Number 9 there. Look, Oreo eggs. Has anybody even heard of an Oreo egg? I didn't even know that was a thing. I like Oreos, so I think I might go get that one. I might dispute that one on there. What about number 8? The Sour Patch White Chocolate Bunny. I can see some of you, you're cringing even in your seat. So is it sour? Is it I don't know. Let's stay away from that one, right? What about bubblegum eggs? Like bubblegum? That's kind of like gumballs out of the old gumball machine, right? Bubblegum eggs. I'm not sure about that. Number 6. Come on. Now, this seems sacrilegious, doesn't it? Chocolate cross. Does it seem a little sacrilegious to eat a Jesus on Easter? I mean, there's just something like really wrong with that, isn't it? So I certainly agree with that one. Look at number 5 there. Kind of hard to see up front here, but chocolate bunnies, right? Just the regular old hard chocolate bunnies, right? Any fans of those in the house? Oh, I got some. Okay. All right, number 4, marshmallow eggs. Who likes the marshmallow stuff? Yeah, marshmallows are for roasting over a fire. They're for s'mores, right? Not supposed to go in chocolate eggs. Number 3, oh my goodness, have I got any Peeps fans in the house? Peeps are terrible. I mean, let's just own it. They're horribly disgusting. It's just like eating a pile of sugar that mushes in your mouth, you know? And it's not even as good as cotton candy. Not even close, right? So, Peeps, no way. Oh, bunny corn. Did anybody even know that was a thing? Yeah, candy corn is straight from hell. I'm just going to call it right now. Candy corn is the worst candy there is. Don't tell me about peanuts or pretzels or throwing all the salty stuff in there with it. It's terrible, right? We're just going to declare that today. And number one worst candy surveyed, Cadbury eggs. Where are my Cadbury egg fans in the house? It's a few of you. Yeah, it's basically like eating snot in chocolate. It's bad, right? It's terrible, okay? So we're going to help you with that today. So there you go. Worst candies. Those are the candies to stay away from. Have you know today that Easter's not about candy? Come on now. It's not about bunnies. It's not about eggs. Doesn't have anything to do with any of that. Easter's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about the resurrection of Christ, how he came and shed his precious blood for us on Calvary's cross. That's what we celebrate on Good Friday. We remember the precious blood of Jesus shed for us. But then on Easter Sunday morning, he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay in that grave. He came back to life. And that's what gives us hope and gives us life. The cemetery of prophets is full of dead leaders today, isn't it? Dead prophets. But there's one grave that is empty, and that's the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go and see the tomb of Muhammad today. He's still there. You can go and see the tomb of Buddha today. He's still there. You can go see Joseph Smith's tomb, Mary Baker Eddy's tomb. I mean, you name it. All these different religious leaders throughout the years. But you can go to Jerusalem today to the Garden Tomb, and it's what? Come on now. It's empty. Aren't you glad there's an empty grave? Empty tomb. Jesus is alive. R.A. Torrey, great evangelist of old, once said this, "The resurrection is the foundation stone of Christian doctrine," isn't it? It's the foundation stone. It's the Gibraltar of Christian evidence, and it is the Waterloo of infidelity and of rationalism, isn't it? Jesus has defeated all of that. The great Jerry Bynes once said it like this, "For the believer," again, every Sunday worship service commemorates the resurrection. "Every time we come together, we declare that Jesus is alive. And when the Jews in the Old Testament worshiped on the Sabbath, they declared that God had created the world. But when we put Bibles under our arms and travel to God's house, we testify to our unsaved friends and neighbors that Jesus is alive and he is worthy of our worship, isn't he?" And so the resurrection, Easter is all about the resurrection of Christ. Did you know there were hundreds of eyewitnesses of Jesus after he rose from the dead? How do we know this is historical fact, that this is true, and that the Bible, what it says about Jesus, is true and real? Well, we have hundreds of eyewitnesses who saw Christ after he rose from the dead. That tomb, as I said a moment ago, is still empty today, isn't it? If you have enough money and enough time, you can go to Jerusalem and you can go see that Garden Tomb and see that it's still empty today. But also, countless millions of people, like most of us in this room this morning, claim that their lives have been transformed by the resurrected Jesus, by him, by his living life, his life in us. Scripture says that so too in salvation, it is resurrection, isn't it? And that's what makes Jesus's resurrection so powerful and so significant, because he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And so too, we are dead in our trespasses and sins apart from Christ, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, through Jesus, made us alive together with Christ. Whenever you place faith in Jesus, it's not just turning over a new leaf. It's not just becoming a better person. It's not just adding some religion to your life. Oh no, salvation is an intimate relationship with Christ whereby he takes us from death to life on the inside. Born again. And that's the big question today on Easter. Have you been resurrected? Has Jesus transformed your life? Has your life gone from death to life, true life on the inside, the peace and the joy of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God? Have you been born again? Today we're going to look in John chapter 11 at the story of Lazarus, one whom Jesus, he is the resurrection and the life, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And before we read this passage, I just want to share with you today, in just a few moments at the conclusion of our service today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. And I'm going to invite you to do something today very bold. I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat and to come. Our pastors are going to be here, some of our prayer team leaders. They're going to be here to meet you, to pray with you, not to bring you up on this platform or to point you out in front of the crowd, but simply to meet with you here and to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus. And so we're going to give you the opportunity to do that today. Why would we do that? Because Jesus commands us to do that. Did you realize that? He says that in order for us to have a true relationship with Him, we must place faith in Him, and as a part of that, publicly profess that He is Lord. We are called to stand for Christ, not just in this place, but outside of this place. And so in just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come and profess Christ as Lord of your life. For children of God today, how's your walk with the Lord? Just simply today, are you walking in the life of Jesus, or does it feel like your spiritual life's kind of dead? Today, my prayer is that the Spirit of God will do some resurrection work in you once again. Oh, when you know Jesus, aren't you glad you don't have to be resaved? Come on now. That's what the crucifixion and resurrection is all about. It's not about our performance. It's about what Jesus did for us on the cross. But yet, it's so easy to get disconnected from Christ, isn't it? Get distracted in this life. To be separated from that intimate fellowship with Him because of sin or other disruptions or distractions in life. Listen, today I invite you to come back to Jesus, to turn from all that and to trust in Him and let His resurrection life do a fresh work, His Holy Spirit do a fresh work in you once again. Why don't we read together? John chapter 11, I invite you to turn there. If you don't have your Bible, the verses will be on the screen. John 11, verse 38, this is the great miracle where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Verse 38, it says, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to Jesus, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. By the way, 4 days in Hebrew tradition was the point when they were considered officially dead. They didn't have the same kind of health care and things like we have today, so someone could be possibly in a comatose state and awaken. So after a day or two, possibly. So it was four days. That's why Jesus waited till the fourth day. He wanted to make sure everybody knew Lazarus was dead. But aren't you glad we serve a God that can bring the dead to life? Come on now. And look at what it says here. Jesus said to Martha, he said, didn't I tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God? That same statement's true for us today. It did. If you believe, you will see the glory of God in your life. And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Aren't you glad he called Lazarus by name, or they all would have come out? Come on now. That is the power of Jesus. He said, Lazarus, come forth, come out. And the man who had died came out, and his hands and his feet were bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. He still had the grave clothes on. How many know when you get saved, you're not all you're going to be? Isn't that right? Come on, children of God. Yes, when we come to faith in Christ, we make Him Lord of our lives. We submit to Him. But we are just beginning that relationship with Him. We're babes in Christ. And so much work begins in our life as He begins to take those grave clothes off of us, the old flesh and sin from our past life. He says here, his face is wrapped, but Jesus said to them, to the crowd of onlookers, unbind him and let him go. Oh, what a powerful story. What an incredible miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the miracles of Jesus, how do we know that they are true? You had in this instance, the Bible doesn't tell us how many, but possibly as many as 100 or more direct eyewitnesses who saw this. If you go to the court of law and there's 100 folks on the stand who get on the witness stand and say you committed a crime, are you going to jail? Come on now. Yes. And so it's important to remember what we have in God's Word, especially in the Gospels about Jesus Himself. We had in some cases hundreds of eyewitnesses who experienced these things. And Jesus here shows us directly that He is the Messiah, showed the crowd that also, didn't He? That He was God in the flesh because He raised a man from the dead. In this passage, we've got four characters in this story. You've got, obviously, Lazarus, and we'll talk about him in just a moment, and Jesus, who is the hero of the story. How many know Jesus is the hero of every story? Come on now. But also you have Lazarus's two sisters. One of them is named here Martha, but then you have another sister named Mary. And right before this, we see where Mary and Martha are grieving the death of their brother Lazarus. Mary was the brokenhearted person, discouraged. She comes, it says right before this, and falls at the feet of Jesus because she is so overwhelmed with pain, with grief, and possibly even with trauma at the experience. But right before this is where we have everybody's favorite memory verse. When you're a kid, it's one of your favorite ones to memorize because it's so easy, right? Shortest verse in all the Bible. Jesus, what did he do? He wept. Wept with Martha. By the way, with Mary. And maybe you identify today with Mary coming into this place. Maybe you come in with hurt, with pain, with trauma in your life. You need to know today that Jesus weeps with those who weep. Isn't that good news today? Our resurrected Lord, resurrected Jesus, comforts the hurting. Whatever breaks your heart breaks God's heart. Isn't that good news today? And so know that God wants to meet you right where you are today and encourage you. Also, another character, again, is Martha. Martha's the fixer. How many Marthas have I got in the room? The type A, control freak. Come on, that's Pastor Derek. Okay, you can ask my bride about that. I have to repent of that often in my flesh. Martha's the fixer. She's the doer. She's the type A personality that can't understand why everybody else can't get their stuff together, right? I mean, that's Martha. She's the performance-driven person who looks down on those who don't have goals or can't produce in life, right? And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're the person coming in who likes to be known as a successful person, disciplined person. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that as long as we surrender that. Come on now. Our ego to Jesus. How many of you know that the gospel is not about our performance? Come on now. God is not impressed by how successful you are in the world's eyes, how much money you have, how educated you are. God is not impressed, nor do we, listen, earn the favor of God by all that effort. Well, aren't you glad that the love of God is not earned? It is simply offered as a free gift to anyone who will receive it. And so maybe you come in like Martha today. Listen, you need to lay all that down, that judgmental attitude, that performance-driven attitude. We have to lay all that down. That's not the gospel. The gospel is about love and grace in Christ, isn't it? Lazarus, he's the dead guy here, right? He's the man in the tomb. He can't see. He can't hear. He can't taste or smell. He can't respond. He can't converse with anyone. He is dead. Maybe you come in today spiritually dead, separated from Christ. You put the clothes on, the Easter clothes on this morning, put on the face, put on the smile, and you walked into this place, but the truth is you're dead on the inside, empty, just empty. The good news today is the gospel, listen to me, is for you. God wants to fill you with peace and with joy and with life today through the resurrected Jesus, through him today. And so he invites you into relationship with himself, which leads to number four, Jesus, right? He's the hero of the story, and he's the one that we come to celebrate and to exalt today. What we see in this passage with Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, we see three steps today to resurrection. If you want the resurrection life of Jesus, children of God today, if you want a fresh work of God in your life, this applies to you as well. Three steps to resurrection today, and then I'm going to invite us to come and respond to Jesus and receive the free gift of eternal life. And for children of God, receive a fresh work of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit today. Okay, three steps to resurrection. Step number one, if we're going to experience the resurrection life of Jesus in our hearts and lives, we must first remove the excuses. Do we have a lot of excuses for why we don't serve God at times in this life? Do we love to justify our own sin? Come on, children of God, be honest today. We do. We all do, don't we? Well, here, we've got to remove the excuses. Where do you get that, Pastor Derek? Well, when he says here, roll the stone away. Man, what God put in my heart on that is the obstacles. What are the obstacles? What are the things that are keeping us in the grave of our, graves of our own sin, if you will, or the grave of our sin? And so many excuses we make. Excuses are like large stones that keep us in brokenness, that keep us in darkness, that keep us in despair, and ultimately death. All kinds of excuses we have. Here, consider some of these excuses. Some people like to say, religion is not for me. You ever heard someone say that before? Well, religion, you know, that God stuff is really not for me. I got good news today. It really wasn't for Jesus either. And some of the people that Jesus had the hardest time with were the judgmental legalistic folks within Hebrew religion. And Jesus is all about a relationship. And yes, he cares about the law of God and religious things as we think of them. But at the end of the day, Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He's not calling you to tithe or attend a church, give money, serve, do those things. No, he's inviting you into relationship with himself. And so religion's not for me. Hey, it wasn't for Jesus really either, if you want to argue it. Okay? What about this? I'm not good enough. You ever heard someone say that before? Well, I'm just not good enough, man. I got to clean up first in order to come to God. Aren't you glad that the gospel is not about cleaning up? It's not about doing better, trying harder. It's about what Jesus did for us, right? Listen, just come to Jesus and he'll clean you up. Come on now. He will receive you today just as you are, no matter the sin or the brokenness in your life. Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's inviting you into relationship with himself. Oh, I'm not good enough. Well, Jesus is. Man, come to him. You ever heard this before? Man, I don't go up to that church because all the hypocrites that are there. You ever heard that before? Hypocrites. Are there any hypocrites in the church? Yeah. Yeah, because there's people there. The church is not perfect. It's full of people, and people, we all are imperfect. But are there hypocrites at your work? Are there hypocrites, young people, at your school? Yes. Are there hypocrites in your extended family? Watch out. Don't point at them today, right? Are there hypocrites all around us? Absolutely there are. But that doesn't keep you from going to work every day. That doesn't keep you from going to school every day. And by the way, coming to church doesn't make you right with God. That's not the intent of that statement. But friends, listen to me. When you love God, you want to serve him. You want to follow him when you know Jesus. And so, man, what a sorry excuse, right? We don't make a determination about God based on the actions of people. That just doesn't even make good logical sense, does it? We need to make a determination about God based on the evidence and the truth of who he is. And so, you ever heard somebody say this before, make this excuse? Well, I'll do that later. Man, I'll follow Jesus later. I'll get saved later. I'll get baptized later. Baptism is the first step of your new walk with Jesus. It doesn't save you, but once you're saved, you're commanded to come for baptism. And I've heard so many people throughout the years say, well, I'm working on it, or I'll do that later. How many of you know you don't have tomorrow, right? It's not guaranteed. Scripture says life is like a vapor. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Just this past Friday night, we had a high school senior, Rossview High School here in town. Y'all probably have heard this already. Athlete, incredible athlete, Cam Moore, died just like that playing pickup basketball. So we're praying for their family today, for the Ward family. Friends, listen to me. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Do you know Jesus? Don't put off till tomorrow what you ought to do today. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, give your heart to Christ today. You ever heard somebody say this? Well, I grew up in church. I'll ask people, man, listen, you ought to come to church. Or, hey, tell me about your faith in Christ out in this community. I say, well, I grew up in church. Well, that's good. Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? I'm glad you grew up in church. What about now? Are you committed to Jesus now? Are you serving him now? Some people say, well, if I give my heart to Jesus, man, he'll want me to give all my money and my time to the church. So, yeah, y'all okay? Y'all can laugh, okay? You can laugh there. He'll make me go on this on a mission trip to China or something, man. He'll put me on the mission field. Friends, listen to me. All the crazy stuff we come up with. The Bible doesn't say you have to give your money or your time or go on a mission trip in order to know Jesus. We simply surrender our life to Him. But I will say, once Jesus changes our life, it becomes our joy to serve Him, to give money, to do those things. But you don't have to give money or time in order to be saved. We simply surrender our life to Jesus. Yeah, it's everything we are, we have, but we just surrender to Him. And so in a relationship, some people say, well, I follow science, not religion. You ever heard that one before? Well, I just believe in science and not religion. By the way, are those two mutually exclusive? No. Jesus is the greatest scientist that ever walked the earth. He made everything we see and we know. All the systems around us and how everything works, there is a God who put that in place. And by the way, whenever you begin to study science and really do the research, you see the handiwork of God all around us. And so, man, that's just an excuse. After all I've done, how could God love someone like me? Well, the good news is today that He loves you no matter what you've done. He wants to receive you just as you are. In order to receive the life of God today, we've got to remove the excuses. We've got to lay all that stuff aside and just say, you know what? Man, eternity matters. Where I'm going to spend eternity. The Bible says we'll spend eternity either in heaven or hell, with God or separated from God in torment forever. That's real. But the good news of the gospel is that God offers us the free gift of eternal life. It is not God's desire that anyone should perish, but that all would come to faith in Him, that all would know His love, that all would come to repentance. And so today, remove the excuses. God wants to do a work in your life. Secondly, today, if we're going to experience transformation, if you want to experience the transforming work of God, you got to reject the critic. Reject the critics. In this passage, we see a religious critic, Martha. Isn't it interesting here? Martha, by the way, has already chided Jesus for not showing up early enough. You ever met folks like that? Well, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's what she said when Jesus shows up. And he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Right. Great statement. Speaking to his resurrection that would happen just, not very long after this. And I am the resurrection of life. She says, I know, Jesus, that my brother will be raised again on the last day. And Jesus says, no. I am the resurrection of life now. Right now. Well, now we come to the tomb. Jesus says, roll the stone away. Martha's still correcting him. You ever corrected Jesus in your prayer life? Now, God, what is this? Now, this is not the way this should have been. And we may not say it that way, but do we feel that way sometimes? And here, Martha, isn't it interesting, by the way, it calls her the sister of the dead man. It doesn't say the sister of the man about to get raised up. And Jesus has already told her he's going to be resurrected. It refers to her as the sister of the dead man. And so Martha says, now, Jesus, by now he stinketh. Right? We'll use some King James language on there. That man, he's been dead 4 days. Don't you realize the stench is going to come out here and just sicken us all? You can just see Jesus do that, right? Martha. Right? Martha, Martha, Martha. Did I not just tell you I'm the resurrection of life? Did I not just like tee up the miracle for you just a moment ago face to face? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God? Oh, Martha is the realist. Listen, when you start trying to live for God, if you step out and say, man, I want to follow Jesus, there's going to be critics. There's going to be haters. There's going to be detractors. There's going to be people come against you. Some people erroneously think that whenever they start to live for God, this stuff gets easier. No, when you begin to take that step towards Jesus, it gets harder. It gets harder. All those old friends you've been running with will start asking a lot of questions and will begin to put some judgment on you even out in this world. Well, who are you? Are you better than us now? Oh, you don't want to go drinking with us anymore? You don't want to go running around with us anymore? You don't want to do that anymore and do those things? I mean, what are you, holier than thou? But not only that, sadly, there'll be some critics in the church. Martha here is the judgmental person even in the church. I thank God at Living Hope that we got a whole lot of hospitable, loving people. But friends, listen to me. You'll have people even in religion, even under the guise of religion, that'll be critical. You know, I can't believe she walked up in here. I can't believe it. He's here today. I didn't know he's coming to church now. I heard a story one time. A guy was telling a story about how he had been ministering to some college kids for the longest time, and he had invited them to come to church and never would come. Well, finally, one Sunday, this one young man got brave enough to come on his own. How many of you know, by the way, when you've been inviting folks and they show up here, that's courage. Come on now. There's some courage in that. Come on, Living Hope, and we need to be aware of that and honor that. And this young man showed up, walked in the door. He's about to walk into church to come into worship. Had a hat on his head, and there was an usher right there at the door who thought, you know what, you shouldn't be wearing a hat here. And he looked at that young man. He said, "Listen, you get that hat off your head before you come into this place. Not, hey, good morning, my name's so and so. How you doing? Glad to see you." He said, "Listen, you get that hat off your head before you come in this place." And the man who'd been ministering to him forever, he said, "Listen, that boy turned around, walked out that door, and to my knowledge, he's never come back to the church." Why do I say that? I don't say that to condemn or shame children of God today. I say that to say, listen, God doesn't care about a hat. He doesn't care about tattoos or ear piercings. That's not what God's after. He doesn't care about what you're wearing coming in the door today, right? He's all about your heart. He loves you, and he wants to meet you right where you are. It's not about all that outward stuff. And Martha here, man, she's going to correct Jesus, right? Listen, today, you got to reject all the critics, man. That's going to come in life. You can't worry about what this culture will say, right? About following Jesus, because following Jesus, especially living out gospel morality and gender and sexuality and gospel identity in those ways, is not popular in this culture. Well, you can't worry about what's popular. You got to worry about what God says, right? What matters to the Lord. And it's only faith in Christ whereby we receive eternal life. Oh, today, listen, it's not going to be acceptable before God for us to say, "Well, you know, those people, some of those religious folks were mean to me when I was trying to follow Jesus." He'll say, "Well, what does that have to do with me?" Don't let the actions of others, even those old friends now, "Hey, what do you mean? You're going to be holier than thou?" Listen, you got to lay down the shame. You got to lay down all that stuff. You got to lay down cast aside the pressures of this world, and you got to choose to follow Christ if you want true transformation in your life. Oh, in order to be resurrected, we must remove the excuses, reject the critics, and then lastly, respond to the call. And that's what I'm inviting you to do today. To respond to the call of salvation. That call means, number one, it means faith. Jesus said, "If you believe, you will see the glory of God." True faith in Christ is taking that first step out of the grave. Jesus calls us out by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Lazarus wouldn't have even been able to step out of that grave were it not for that breath that Jesus put in him. So today, if there's a desire in your heart at all to be saved, that's the Spirit of God calling you even now. But we must respond to it if you believe. You got to take that first step out to follow Jesus. But not only does it mean faith, responding to the call means freedom. How many of you know today that Jesus Christ will set you free from anything that's binding you up? Drugs, alcohol, pornography, depression, anxiety, mental illness, anger, bitterness, resentment, all that stuff, you name it, materialism, worldliness, greed, stuff that keeps us bound up in a grave of brokenness and despair. Today, Jesus can set you free from that. And by the way, he comes out in grave clothes. It says his feet are bound, hands are bound, and there's a cloth even around his face. He couldn't see clearly. He couldn't walk with Jesus. He had just taken one step but couldn't walk fully. his hands bound. He couldn't do any work for Jesus. Right? But what did Jesus say to the onlookers there? Unbind him and let him go. Whenever we get saved, it begins a process called sanctification where God begins to work in us and he removes the grave clothes one day at a time. And by the way, who was it that had to remove the grave clothes? Did Lazarus pull them off himself? No, it was the people around him. Don't miss this. What's the importance of the church? It's not about attending a service. It's about the body of Christ coming alongside and helping us to remove the grave clothes. When you get saved, it begins a process. If you want to be free from that stuff in your life, those besetting sins and those things that are keeping you in darkness, you got to be with the people of God, worshiping God, in the Word of God, right? And the people of God can come alongside and help to remove that stuff from your life in Jesus' name. Oh, respond to the call, faith in Christ. And when we place faith in Him, now freedom is available.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.